meaningfully. Again, Chafifa, all the instructions about you should use warm water, be careful not to use anything that cuts, that clumps the hair together, etc. The ikir is ino biatzma. Mobility of our society is such, and the fact that you people always like to go to some place that no Jew should go there, end up often in places where a mikvah lady is not available. We'll be learning now in Hilchos Mikvos the complexity of finding a place that's called a kosher mikveh, but a mikvah lady is not a requirement.
So if there was a situation when there was a kosher mikvah and there was a lake or something that met the requirements for tefillah also, yeah, and the woman said she doesn't want to go to the mikvah,
yeah,
so she's going to the lake.
Yeah, occasion where kosher mikvah with a mikvah lady, and the lady is down with the flu and they couldn't get anyone to substitute for her. You don't close the mikvah down. Okay. We have to do this one on the brocha, interesting one. Let me give you a ravosh. It's introductory to the mikra one. Wrong one. Here's my mikra one. I'd like to seduce you to look away from the easy way out, catch an achon that discussed the topic, and see how a rishon discusses the topic. The issue that we're talking about here is how much water makes up a mikveh. Well, we're not up yet. We got to finish yet this little one on the brocha. Came up upside down, but what kind of, that's on my own, on my computer at home, on my printer at home. Okay. So most of you have Sachim. Remember the Gemara Sachim discusses this problem of over Las Yosef. Halacha demands that a bracha be made before the mitzvah, before the Kima mitzvah. And we have a problem with Tfilas Geir. Tfilas Geir has trouble saying Asher Kitshonu b'mitzvosa b'tzivonu. Therefore, Tfilas Geir, the brocha is made after Tfila. As a second concern, if the some reason why the individual may not do the Maisa Mitzvah, make the bracha, and then fright sets in. Are you sure that this lake is a safe place to go to mikveh? Right? And she thinks she saw a snake slithering into the water. It's not going to be easy for such a woman to go underwater. Right. Another reason why it may be wiser to let her go underwater and then make the bracha. That's simulation. Right? Third concern is the propriety of baking brachas to the maskil Shem Hashem when you're improperly dressed. And that's a problem which, as you know, has wide ramifications. It has to do with davening shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, in some parts of the world where they show up wearing shorts and a polo shirt and they want to daven for the yom. Proper dress for tefillah is a derisa. Tzachon of tefillah, that's unfortunately one of the areas most neglected in halacha. Always very, very disturbing is my early morning minyan in shul, where some people go to gym first and show up in their gym clothes to daven shachris, then they get dressed to go to the office. The office, they got to see people, they have to look like a mensch. But you have to see God, that's important. Here you have a little problem. And the way it's discussed, you'll see also a difference in what was the accepted norm of how a woman prepared to go to mikveh. The Machaber needs an explanation, just the first words. Amos Aitasa Brocha Vichas Hatfila. Kisho Poshetes Malbusheha. What's the next two words? She gets undressed and she omedes Bechaluka. And she's wearing her dress. Okay? Now we see the women went to mikveh with something on them. Shopetesh babusher, shomeres bechluka, right? Tibore hashekechon mitzvosetun latfila, and then takes out her undergarment, a petticoat, takes off her petticoat, the titvo. Where was she standing it all this time? In the room next to the mikveh? Obviously not. She's in the mikveh ward already. That was the custom. That's how the Machaber had it. A very modest, proper way to treat the bracha. In other words, she gets undressed except for her, the garment closest to her body. She makes her bracha and then she takes off. Throws it away on what she does with it. Imlo bircha oz. English translation, not this style, to enter the mikveh wearing a petticoat. Then tivorech li'achar shetikones atzavoro b'mayim. Then she could be naked, but with the water covering up to the neck. V'mehen tzululin, if the water is clear water, right? This you have to visualize. But there must be some dirt, mud on the bottom, anyways. Not worrying about the tit. That would be an issue of chatzitza. But such as you would have a sandy bottom where there's no shail of chatzitza on sand. It doesn't stick to you. Then, ocheres beragleo, she muddies the water so the water isn't perfectly transparent. Umboreches. The Yesh Omrim showed the Borech at Achat Fila. And Hadar Mohazit, the Chain Noagin, Shel Achat Fila, Bodo, Medet, Besuch Hamayim, Mechasis Hatzma, Bebigdo, Obechaluka and Boreches. Again, you have to visualize the circumstance there. What she has clothes easily reachable, right? She goes to the mikveh first, she dunks first, right? And then what? She grabs something out that's on the edge of the mikveh, right? Covers herself, right? And makes the bracha. That's how the mechaber and the rabbi had it. That's not how we do it today. Well, here, what you have here is a nice sugya. We'll spend a little time, I guess. It's worth it because it has to do with really hachon of tefila, etc., etc. What you have here is a shaila of a sense of propriety for making a bracha. There were two halachic concepts. I'm sorry, I left my little day at home. I had it there, I had it already marked off for you. Let's see if I can find it. Hey boys, you want to make a contribution? What's this business of some people wearing a gartel, putting on a gartel before they make a bracha, before they daven? What's that all about?
Gemara brachos.
Well, there are two separate concepts though. One is called Shlalibo Roes Elbo. The other concept is what? Lo yiroh b'chor ervas dovor is a locha of gilui ervo. You can't make a bracha when you're naked. I'll define it again in a conclusion. Not everyone may agree with my pshat, but I think it's the correct one. Lo yireh b'chor ervas dovor. If you translate the pasuk, what does it mean? Lo yireh b'chor. There should not be seen in you a disgusting thing. I don't want to see you walking around without pants. That's the impact you have on me. If you have that impact on me, it's not nice to see you walking around naked. It's not nice to talk to a Rebbeinu Shlomo when you're naked. Better, maybe put it maybe more practically, would you go to meet somebody dressed that way, or rather undressed that way? Second halacha is libo roas elbo. There, as you see, Shachar discussed part of this. If someone does this, then libo is not roes elbo. Then my hand, my chibuk yadayim, separated my heart from my bottom parts. And I can be naked. As far as libo roes elbo, I fulfill that requirement by doing this. As far as going on an interview, it's not going to do me any good, right? To go to an interview without pants and hug myself, right? To show as a separation between the elbow and the heart. One has to do with a kind of internal kavana. And libo roes elbo, it's kind of internalizing something. And shloye b'cho elbos dovo is aloha how you impact on others. Take a look at the end of the Shach. I mean, it's only one sif here. There's a nice long shach. We'll spend a few minutes at the shach. Look at this, the last three words that you have the shach there. The last three lines. A summation. You got it? The very last three lines of the shach. There's only one long shach here. On the second, and Kufay and Aleph, on the second Omud of the shach. Imkain, Han and Nashi Didan. I like this. This is a line you're gonna like. Im einon nevios hein benos nevios hein. Our women, if they are not nevios, then certainly the mothers were. No, they got the right tradition. Period. Am esol is accurate. They didn't make it up, and they go to mikveh naked and make a bracha, etc. Right? Hilchoch mevorchos b'mayim sululim. You with us? Reish. Simul Reish.
The very end of the shach. Right here, the shach. The last few lines.
Hilka bevochos b'mayim sululin. No business about muddying the waters and stirring up dirt. They go base it in clear water. Sheineim chutz l'mayim. Right. So that libo and roes elmo, because I'm looking there. They nay him chutz l'mayim umin hogan torahi. People, look at the beginning of the shach. The actual nogu sholachasos atzmo klal ulevorech. The korah aleim tago hadrisha. Hadrisha. Oh, that's somebody woke Yeshua, Yeshua woke. Right? The pillow feebugs or sell Loma Hanel, a half six year libel or sell. You hear that? What I demonstrated for you, hugging myself, right? There. All that accomplishes is now it's not libel or sell, it's a gartel, that's all. Abo beisha lo shach libo rosa elbo. That's not a problem by a woman, right? Rosh Hakosav, whoever he is, zel shono nira shanoshim yicholos lebor ospalak shein levushus b'chalukon. A woman can daven while wearing a dress. Afa pi shein mapsiko samata min achoze. Why? Even though they don't wear a gartel. The fi she'ervoson lamata meod ve'nibud roas elvo. Their gentle organ, the female genitalia are not visible. Therefore, there's not shy of the whole shayla of nibud roas elvo. Vloboi tohos bekaka elag shenarumos kdeishet tischas erboson. What's he talking about? But if they are naked, not wearing anything at all, then they can't make a bracha unless they're sitting. Why? Because nakedness is loyreya bo ha'elva zavor. So there's nakedness and there's libur over se elbo. Nakedness has to do with loyreya bo ha'elva zavor. A man, a person seeing a lady undressed, that's elva zavor. But the lady herself, she doesn't have that problem. If you accept that as a requirement, right? No, why don't we wear gantles? Like, how come you don't wear gantles? Maybe you do. Chulit seems to be a halacha. It's only because the men dress like ladies, and today we dress like men. Them dressed like ladies, they wore also a dress, like the Muslim Yamar Shemam, they're dressed today. Then you need a gatol shol yilibo roas ha'elva. Two separate halachas. Libo roas ha'elva, right? That's not shaykh at all by women. It's not anatomically concerned, not anatomical concern. And by us nowadays, the reason we don't wear gatol is because there's no problem with shaliva gosa elbow, because we wear trousers. And the trousers have a waistband. That's as good a gatol as you'll find. You wear a belt also. You know, why is your belt any worse than a gatel? That's why the gatel didn't take root in all areas among the Shomer Torah mitzvahs. From the halacha, it's clear if you would dress in the Middle East dress, ain't a chalame. You would have to do something not to violate the halacha, shall I leave a war's elbow. Then you'd have to wear a gantle. I've been considering wearing a gantle for another reason. How to keep the talus from falling off. The gantle is a very good idea. Then you can tuck the scissors in the gantle and it keeps the talus from falling off your shoulders. Otherwise, you get up to speak for an oil and you're busy adjusting the talus all the time. Right? So you see, the Shach argues that point also. Who said so? Here again, you use your seichel. The Shach argues that mayim tzilulim, when a person is standing in water up to his neck, and someone comes by, is not the same as when he's standing on the edge of the lake, naked. There's a concept of nakedness that has to be defined. When you're standing at the edge of the lake without any clothes on, you're naked. When you go into the water and you're all up to your neck, you may be in the water without clothes, but you're not naked. Because you're covered with a water. Aye, someone can look in the water and see you. That's not what we're talking about. You have to appreciate that difference between being naked, right, on dry land, or being naked and covered with water. I point out that the priest, I can't spend that much time on Shach, the interest of Shach, but if you jump down where the Shach says what I just said, down about 15, 20 lines. They need a lee about the mid, a little below the midpoint of that first column. We need a lee, the b'mayim tzurulim lekem shum gilu elbo. How do you know that? It's a Mishnah. A Mishnah in Brochos. It's not yorad litvo yiskase b'mayim v'yikro. Bar eli b'lo es elbo. We talk about water that is not transparent, water that's opaque, right? Vashta Isak adaita the mind sulim lo chashivi kisu elbo, lomer li ladur reapir chachin, elak shir eli b'ro es elbo. Right? Because that wouldn't ask, that's lav kushe mal you see. Because there are others in the Gemara that hold, so about that libo osel was mutu. That's why Chloek is in the Gemara there. Therefore, when he asks the question, he says, "Pshita lei the kisu mahana afil b'mayim tzulim." Mekom lokom lekem shem lo yirov b'chayev ozavon, kivin she'ein of chutz mayim. Abel mishum liba roos ha'elvos. I already translate for you. Lo yirov ha'elvos dovor is others see you. If you're in water up to your neck, they don't see you as naked. They may record that you swim without a bathing suit. That's all. Okay, people. Again, I wish you had time in your schedule to spend a little more time on this. Interesting, it's not the Geyos Halacha L'Maaseh. Halacha we passing like the Shaf concluded. Emeno Nevios, Benos Nevios, him, their mothers went to Mikveh that way, without having a petticoat when they went into Mikveh, without reaching out and grabbing some garment and covering themselves before they make the bracha. If you hold like the Ramo, they make the bracha after Tefillah, it's not our custom. Their mothers didn't do it that way, we don't do it that way. This simulation, essentially, I finished my contribution to you on Nida Tvila. Now come to Mikvos. Nida Tvila deserves your attention. I don't think we went unusually fast, but I did was. I hope you appreciate, is leave out, well, it's always tempting to give you a shikl toile. That's not, was not my instructions and not my intent. The focus was on halacha l'maaseh. Agamuch, and we had to discuss some halachos, show them, etc., but the emphasis on halacha l'maaseh doesn't allow you to spend too much time on the shiurim that we're doing in the second shiur. Where you quit your eye on a few lines of the Gemara, and we'll see it today as well. Mikveh is a very complex set of halacha l'maaseh. I'm not referring to chafif ratzitza that we did, that's really not difficult. There are gray areas it's hard to give hard, fast rules for all circumstances that have to do with the chatzitza of scabs. That's the one big area that is the fil rusayin ha'adayon. It needs a lot of private, personal decisions on the particular case. Right. Here we're talking about not the woman preparing herself for the mikveh, but what is called a mikveh. And it's a little chidush to realize how no aspect of mikveh is about machlokes. How much water in a mikveh? Number two, what's called a mikveh? How about a mikveh in a kli? How about a big hot tub? I'm pretty sure that some of the hot tubs that they sell, luxury models, have a sheer mikveh, as we'll discuss. Can you use it? Well, how about a hot tub that's attached to your plumbing, obviously? Not sitting in your living room, it's sitting in your bathroom. There are pipes. Then, the shayla of what do you call water when it comes to mikveh? What's called shu'uvim? What's called natural? What's called the spring? What's called a mayan that's exempt from any of the halachos of mikveh? Okay? So let's see if I can introduce this. I copied down a few things that are absolutely critical. I thought I just took it out. No? Look at the Machaber. Reish Aleph. You people? Ein ha'isha ola mitamoso b'rechitzo b'merchatz. What's he saying? Okay, I'll sum it up to remind you. She didn't just complete her unclean days. There's nothing unclean about those days. And hence, becoming clean doesn't mean she's now finished with Egypt. Will you have some idea that menstrual blood may not be considered proper cleanliness? A woman should find blood on her undergarments, sachsoran in her cleanliness. Then very good, she'll now go into a spa, right? And she'll come out to sparkling clean. So that's what the Mechaber begins. Wants to knock out that notion of clean, unclean. That's why I told you, I object strongly to using that lotion, seven clean days. It doesn't sit well with women. It's seven Yemei Hachona, seven preparatory days for tefillah. Ein ha'isha ola mitamasa b'rechitza b'merchatz. V'afilu ola olea kol meimoshav olam. Cleaner than that she can't be already. Adayin hi b'tumasa. We're talking about not cleanliness. We're talking about the halachos of tumma b'tara. V'chayov olea kores. Ad until shetitful kol gufo b'basachas b'mei mikra o mayan sheyesh b'hem memsor. That should make it nice and simple. Now you know how much water you need in the mikveh, right? Wrong. We don't know what memso is. As I'll show you. Vishiyua. What is this? Amo, alamo, arum sholoshamos bimerubo. Three amos by three amos. Amo in width, amo in length, or square, amo, and three amos deep. What's the problem? what's an amma? Well, that's easy. Ba'amo bas shisha tvochin. An amma has three tvochin. What's the problem there? How much is the tefach? And you have to add a chotzi etzba, because you don't know how you measure the dalad etzbos that make up a tefach. An etzba, a tefach, is made up with dalad etzbos. How tight do you squeeze? Yeah. So therefore, you have to add a little bit shum sofik. We've thrown a half a etzba, the chotzi etzba. Bimhu rochav yoser. So volume it'll have, it's not 1 by 1 by 3. It's 1 by 2 by 2. It's 1 by 5 by 2. There's more water in there than the mem saw. It's okay. It doesn't have to be that dimension, 1 by 1 by 3. But im eina gavok, also kosher. Im yecholo liskasos kogufo behem bevasachas. Gives it the shear, right, in finger breadths. I can't give you the shear now in aleph 1 by 1 by 3. You say it has to be, there has to be that dimension. Dimensions can be different than what there'll be in volume. So it gives you the volume now. The volume giving you in how many etzbos? Yeah, but the container, the hole in the ground, with so she acharit shebo amayim godol yosem yishir zeh. Why? If it's just this shear and the water is filled to the top, when you go in, the water will go out, right? So that when you go she goes in and displaces the water, right? If the water displaces, there should still be memso when she's going in. Okay, you want to add something?
What
does tishbores? Yeah? The word tishbores? Volume, I mean.
Volume?
Okay. Let me share with you a little bit of research I did not late last night, early this morning. Like 1:30 in the morning. Okay. Memso is 960 lugid. Okay. A lug is 4 revios. A revios is how much? That's the problem. Right? If a revios is 3.3 ounces, the way Prophet Chaim seems to have it, the way my friend Natsal Paskin, Revius, that's the shear of Kiddush Kop for Dalit Kosos, etc., has to be 3.3 ounces. Then you do the quick calculation. If a gallon is 128 ounces, and if 960 lugin, each lug for Revius, is 12,672 ounces, then a mikveh is only 99 gallons.
That's not a lot.
Huh?
That's not a lot.
All right.
I called,
this morning, I called my plumber and asked him What's the average volume of a bathtub?
400?
Huh?
300, 400?
Well, you said 50 gallons.
Really?
I could do that. I put a question mark, but that's what he said. That's it.
40 saw is the size of a human being.
I was thinking liters.
40 saw is the size of a human being.
Sorry?
40 saw is the size of a human being. So it makes sense that a bathtub would be a little bit less than that because you can't fit comfortably in a bathtub.
I got some other numbers for you. Listen to this. If you follow the Chazon Ish, right, and the Rabbis is five ounces, or close to it anyway, or maybe a little bit over, lower. Anyway, it comes out that a Memsor is 150 gallons. Okay? Look up in the Chazon Ish, Hilchos Megillos, he says, L'chatchila, right? It should be 750 liters. He really uses the term liters, British liters. Remember, liter is a little bit more than a quart. Like three ounces more than a quart. Not quite. But yeah, something like 3 ounces more than a quart. Anyway, dealing with liters, which is the British or European measure, right? He says, L'chatchila, it should be 750 liters, which is 185 gallons. So suddenly we jumped from 99 gallons to 185 gallons. You should know that most of our mikvahs have more than that. Most of our mikvahs are made 200 gallons usually. So I caught my fancy, and since many people have probably published Sforim on Shiurim, I have a few of them home, so I got this to add to your interest. The Shitas HaGro, right, he also mentions liters, 544 liters. That's 136 gallons. The Balatanya mentions 492 liters. That's 123 gallons. The Samsofer is the biggest shear of all. He says it's 816.29 gallons, liters. That's 204 gallons. The interesting sheet is, you know, the famous Machlokes in Shulim is between Rav Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish. Rav Noah was looked upon as a big mumche on Shulim there, and he has two Shulim. L'chatchila, he says, 921 liters, 230 gallons, but b'shas hadchak, whatever that means, 114 gallons are enough.
What were those two?
Huh?
What were those two Shulim?
L'chatchila, 230 gallons. B'shasatchak means you can't manage to do it the best way, and 114 gallons would also do. I was able to find two sheets Gaonim. The sheets Rav Yehuda Gaon is 306.4 liters, only 77 gallons. Not much more than a bathtub. The Shitas Harif is 460 liters, that's 115 gallons. Critically important it would be to know, I once told you I had this Shaila of this husband-wife team of doctors at Mayo Clinic, where they decided that the only way they can survive is having a mikveh in the house. And I ordered a baptistry Haley, right, at the Baptists use in their religious service, and that had certainly closer to 200 gallons there.
But if you had to use something, it should be hard to get a barrel. Good to go and sheet of 77. My great grandfather, the one I named after, Moshe Zaltz, was the first manufacturer of kosher wine in America, Geffen Industries. Yeah. And I know what barrels are a lot. A normal total barrel was 50 gallons. A bigger barrel was 75 gallons. Those are two barrels that they had, 50 gallons, 75 gallons. According to Rav Yehudoigon, that bigger barrel was almost right. His sheet was 77 gallons. When you take a barrel like that, you chop a hole in the bottom and cement it to the ground, you have a kosher mikveh. There was a campaign on in the early 1900s in America that people put mikvahs in their living room. Yeah, you have to find him. His name was Rabbi Miller. He was focused on one thing. He had a lot of fabulous aitzes, meaning interior design aids, how you can have a mikveh in your living room. It should look like a credenza, it should look like an icebox, etc. And you open the door, you go into the mikveh. Where did you get the water from? He was Mata City Water. That was his big mistake. He didn't understand the standpipe system we have in New York City. He was talking about New York City, where shuvim become a real problem. Because they don't have kind of flat territory where you can provide water without using a series of pumps to pump the water up to a high point and then let it come down by gravity. But nevertheless, there's not a minor decision to be made. What is the exact shear of the mikveh? Have the big machlokas rishonim. Are these shiurim relevant for mayon? What does that mean? I'll give you the sources in a minute. There are two separate halachas. One is shiur mikra, memsor. Question, is that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, is only only the Rabbanon, Atakonos Chazal? What does that mean? Is it the Raisa only Sheiskasa Kol Gufo? I don't care whether there's Memso or not. You go ahead and make me a little coffin, right? Coffin that just fits the person size. You fill it there with eight shomim attached to the ground, and he has to go into the mikveh by lying down in the mikveh. There's no memsor, but he can cover kol gufo. Maybe it's okay. Or no, memsor is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So even though you can miskasa kol gufo, you need memsor. Or now put it differently, what is the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? Is it just Sheiskasa Kol Gufo? And the Chacham estimated that's Memsor. For it loved after. That was just an advisory. But if it is Sheiskasa Kol Gufo, right? Maybe then it became a Rabbonim to make sure of Sheiskasa Kol Gufo, maybe the Rabbonim Memsor. Rabbonim, we can do business with them in Rabbonim. Right? A suffix, sex fake, and so on and so forth. Or do you say Memsor was a Daraisa? Discuss the kogufo, everybody holds his eyes. Shaila is whether memsor is the eyes or not. We'll see, it'll come up in the Shulchan Aruch. The next question then is, what about a Mayan? I gave you the Shabbos Shubas of Avosh. You see that the Shaila, the Shoel, who asked the Ravosh the Shaila, he was under the halachic impression that Mem saw is only the Rabbanon. And Aloha of Sheis Kasa shall call Gufo Ola Behem, right? That's the Daraisa. The Bach in Tool here holds the same way. The Chazanish attacks the Bach, doesn't understand how he did such a thing, how he comes to such a conclusion. Everybody knows that Memsor is the Raisa. Bach says, no, Memsor is the Rabbanon. He's Chasakol Gufo. It so happens the Memsor, Chazal figured out, he's Chasakol Gufo. But if you show me a circumstance, not in the horizontal position, in the vertical position, but in the horizontal position, I can have his classical gufo with less than Memsor, perfectly okay. In the Shabbat Shubas Torah, they usually use the expression, what will be by a Isha Anaka, a giant woman, where the does she have a din, right? That died by Memsor, right? Or does she have a new halacha because Memsor was not measured by her, right? And likewise, a midget, does he need Memsor since in this case the whole called Gufo with less than Memsor. The halacha also presents itself in the filling between Mayon and Mikra. Okay, that you have to have clear in your mind. A mikveh is stagnant water, stationary water. Okay. A mikveh, zochrin, is no good. Flood water coming from rain and one of the son, I remember I was with the Baron Salvation Zatzal in the bungalow colony, Luxor Manor. We took the bungalows next to each other, and that second Shabbos we were there, there was a rain, the Catskill Mountains, heavy rain, and a dry bed stream became a raging river. And I remember a family, Rappaport, from here, from the Boyer Kehillah, came up Friday to visit, to come to the family for weekends. Like, that was the idea of taking a bungalow there. And just, he couldn't believe that what was a dry bed thing. So some water was in there. No. And he tried to cross. Didn't want to get caught. It was after Shabbos. Tried to cross, and unfortunately he lost his life. He didn't find them till Sunday morning, stuck on a tree. Is that a kosher mikveh? Why? That's called zochrin. I know it's not water that came from the ground up, that's called a mayan. This water came from the top down. It wasn't stationary. And therefore, it's not kosher for mikveh. that opens the question on any lake. You have to ask yourself, is this Mayan water coming from the bottom up, or is it runoff water from the mountains? And then we'll see Robu no trim, right? It's more of the dripping water, more of the water coming down from higher ground. More of that water fills up the lake than was the water in the lake, right? Then you begin to question whether the lake is a Mayan or not. The Mayan Afkamina, if the lake has a dam at the end and water is rolling over the dam, it can't be a mikveh. Either it's a Mayan or not. But that water, by the way, that water running down from the rainwater, running out, it's kosher water. The psul is ochlin. The psul is its motion, not its water. So if I go ahead and I take a board and I block the exit, and the water accumulates, that becomes a kosher mikveh. The fact that it was ochlin doesn't interfere with its kashrus. In other words, it's not shu'uvim water that where the water is possible. Shu'uvim is a psul in the water. Zochel is a psul in the motion. That it's not mikveh mayim. It's not stationary water.
Yeah. But doesn't even a mayan have a source somewhere?
Of course.
So why shouldn't that be a problem?
I'm supposed to know that. Okay.
The largest rivers also come from melting ice.
All come from the same water.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why Tumah, Batava, etc. is all kooky. We don't understand. Okay. That same water, my mind shu'uvim, right? My barrel of water had a barrel outside. It got filled up with rainwater, and it's therefore shu'uvim in the barrel. I dump that barrel out, and the water gets absorbed in the earth. And my mayon is over there. Where do you think this water is going to go? But when it goes by, it's kosher water. Of course, it's only one source of water. But when it comes from iron, it's different. It comes from an aquifer under pressure, you get an artesian well where it bubbles up by itself. But that's also, or you say, maybe a little bit unique. Water that's bubbling up, okay? That's mayim chayim. But a mayan doesn't have to be bubbling up. Mayan can be perfectly stationary, as we'll see. In other words?
Is a river?
Huh?
Is a river considered a mayan?
A river could be a mayan, of course. If the main source of water is from internal, from springs in the bottom of the lake, then the whole lake is a mayan.
But if the main source is rainwater.
Rainwater, then it's a local mikveh. Then you better make sure that the dam is closed before you go to the mikveh.
And if the main source is melting ice,
right?
That's
not mayan.
That's not a
right. Okay, that's the alibis you have to get. That's given. You can't argue on those. Those are the given facts. Okay, mayon is Mataya Bezofer. No question that's still not clear. We'll try to clarify a little bit more. That's the halachic status of an ocean. Whether it's really treated as a mayon, and therefore the big shaila is whether it's Oakland. Have waves washing on shore, and on shore there's an indentation. You dug out some in the sand, and now you have a big puddle there, and it's connected to the ocean. If there'll be a lot of mayon, then you don't care that it's Oakland. That the waves are moving the water at the same time. Well, boy, this I'm sure you know, or should know, not to know it all. Who needs a Mayan for tefillah? Yeah, only a zav. There's one shita that a zava also needs a mayan, but it's a shita shochi. The mark it down like. Next general introduction. Mayan Zochlin, Mayan Mataya Algia. A Mayan, the Gemara says, Mataya Bechol Shehu. He doesn't need Memso. Obviously, he needs Kol Gufo Ola, but that's not a problem. Okay. That's at the Long Beach. That's how it's at the Long Beach. Anyway, there I helped a gynecologist there make himself a mikveh, and he had a real opportunity. His house on the waterfront, and he went ahead and he legally or without approval dug a channel that goes into the ocean, and he has a mikveh in his house of salt water. You have to face yourself regularly. Yeah. Shaila, does he need Memso there? Not really. He says, Mayan doesn't need Memso, but he needs Shiskasa Kol Gufo. Why? A Mayan is looked upon as always having Memso. Right? It's always considered a continuum. It's connected to something. Right? Mikveh is separated from everything.
Why is the ocean a Mayan if it comes from rainwater?
Well, the ocean doesn't come from rainwater. I think the ocean provides water so it should rain down. Rain doesn't make the ocean makes the rain.
Well, okay. The ocean doesn't come from under the ground, though.
That is the ground. It's as far down in the ground you want to go. Ocean is natural water, that's the source of water, the oceans.
But it's on top of.
That's how I said before. A spring, a Mayan, doesn't have to be an artesian well, 200 feet down with the water bubbling up. No. You come to a place where there's a trickle of water from the bottom up, and you have a pool. Say, kids, if you go down to soil and you're interested in going to the capital of Shmuel HaNovich, what they call Nabi Samuel, there. On the way there, at the first right turn, as you make, you'll see there's always a lush vegetation, that's the simen. If you stop the car and move away the vegetation, you'll see a Mayan there. Perfectly placid Mayan, there's nothing's leaking into there from any place. Like a well, when you dig a well, what's a be'er? You dig a well, where did the water come from? You dig a well, in Muncie, when I came to Muncie, they just put in, that year, they put in a water system. Before that, everybody had a pump. They had a well with a pump that provided water to the house, and usually, and some of them still have it outside as a relic, a hand pump. Where you can pump water up. Our cemetery there has no water supply from the city. We left the pump, the hand pump, so if you want to wash their hands. If you go to a cemetery, you just go there, there's an attached keli there, and you stand there and you pump. It takes 10, 15 pumps before it begins to draw up the water, and you fill up it there. That's by your water. in a well, or go to Novi Semlya, you'll see there's a well there. Well, which the Arabs draw water from. Nothing from the top coming into it, so it's all covered. It's all from the bottom up. Okay, the next introductory comment, that's all the time we'll have today, Mr. Summer, and that's on Shu'uvi. Okay? Mayan, it may create difference, but the source of water for Mikre, for Mayan, it has its own source of water. For Mikre, the source of water cannot be Shu'uvi. The pasuk in Vayikra, Ach Mayan Abo Mikre Mayim Yeto. Yochol Atilu, I'm reading from the Torah's Karnin. Yochol Atilu Milo Sefo Vyosa Mikve Yeto Tamaloma Mayan Ach Mayan Ubo Mikve Mayan. What does that mean? Tamaloma Mayan, Ma Mayan Bide Shemayan, Ach Mikve Asbi Bide Shemayan. See, if I dig a hole in the ground and I pour in water, a swimming pool. I make myself a swimming pool, and I pour in water, that's what we call shu'uvim. Is it kosher midoraisa or not? Here you have, you name a sheet and I'll find you the name. You give me a sheet, I'll find you a name for it. Way right across the board. Yeah. The Raibit in Sefer Bala Nefesh and Tosfos Bava Basra Daf Sama Vav Dibur Basra Mikhlal, right? The Rash in the Mishnah Mikro is Beis Gimel. Shovel, right? He's a psul doraisa. Comes the Rash and says, "Avol shovel became him shein mekablam tuba, hapsul hu de rabbanim." The rabbanim use stone kalim, kli avonim and amakabal tuba. I can fill up the mikveh midaraisa. I can take a hole in the ground and fill up the water, taking water from the Mayan or from another mikveh. The Rambam says clearly, Shuvim is the Rabbanan. We'll come to the text here. The Ramah in the text, and Reish Aleph Sid Gimu, in Kol HaMikvah Shuvim is Pasul Min HaTova. Those who hold that Shuvim is the Rabbonon, and more hold the Rabbonon than hold the Raisa, say the only Isu the Raisa Shuvim is Bikli, not Mikli. From a Kli into the earth. Let me give you quickly, my old business, while I'm making the calls. Most of the Jersey mikvahs I made, most of the Long Island mikvahs I made. Make a mikvah is, here's what we do. I'll try to explain it to you as we get to the text. Right. You have water, I don't know, blackboard here yet even. I'll bring diagrams. It's a next second. That's easy to explain to you. You know what we do? We fill up Mayim Shuvim and then we make it kosher, right? Based upon the halacha, and once you have a kosher mikveh, called Mayim Sheb Olam can make it possible. Okay. But we do fancy sick. Because of all these Mahlokas Rishonim and what Shu'uvim is, you know what we do? We have the water, that's the non-kosher water, doesn't go into the mikveh plane. Put the water in the mikveh, built in the mikveh hole, then you have what's called the bowl that you connect the two, right? We take the water and you pour it on the ground. You have a cement trough that you make, and the water runs along the trough and into the mikveh. Why? Because according to many sheikhs, the water is no longer shuvim. It went, that's called hamshocha, it went on the ground into the mikveh, according to many sheikhs, that's the kosher mikveh. Then we really make it real kosher, right, by opening up a connection between that hole in the ground called the mikveh and the hole in the ground called the bowl. When the two touch, the shikah, when the two kiss, but really that water was already kosher water before. In addition, what we do is that water that's run on the ground, right, that water was tap water that ran into a kosher mikveh. And the water overran that mikveh. Then we have another kosher mikveh we make the connection with. To satisfy all the shittas ha-machmirim, we start off with saying, Shuv me'yom yid rabona. But you see, Halacha l'maaseh, because you're dealing with Issur Koreis, chumras was sold easily. And Minhag Yisrael developed with all kinds of strange chumras. So in case one is kind of fail-safe system, in case one system didn't work, it would be a kosher mikveh anyway. The tap water goes into a bowl zrir, it's called. You plant the water. And the bowl zrir, which is a kosher bowl, overflows. That runs down along the ground into the mikveh. Right? Then that mikveh bowl is where the woman goes in, right? That mikveh bowl has a connection to, according to Lubavitch, to a bore on the bottom, or according to us, a bore on the side, right? And you make that connection, and therefore you've added to a bore that's kosher water, pretty much kosher water. Okay. But it's water that can be kosher according to many shikas and shodim.
There are three boroughs, one bor zriya, one bor mikvah, and then one
that's the ideal way to make it. What it does, it relates to a problem which we'll discuss of nosan sol and not also. Have a mikvah 40 saw, and I take shuvim, I pour in shuvim, and I take out from the mikveh water saw. Figure out mathematically at what point there'll be no molecules of the original water left. Here we try to make that impossible because basically every aspect of the water that is in the last bowl, the bowl that smashed everything, very little quote bad water went into that one. Okay, let's stop here.